It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to hell. This is the Who's Number One podcast, and buckle up because we're not fucking around today. I'm your host, Michael Sears. You haven't seen me in a minute. I was down in Copacabana drinking gin and tonics at the Hilton. I'm back, though, here with Hall of Fame filmmaker
what
Reed
Connell.
What a way
to kick this thing off, man.
Corey
hell
Stockton
yeah.
at the back table. We got a lot to cover today. We got recapping the last event, amazing event, lots of good action. Big event coming on April 30th. We're going to be talking about that, breaking down all that. And also, we're going to announce today Nicky Ryan's opponent. How you doing, Reed?
Dude, I'm killing it. Love the energy, Michael. A huge weekend was last weekend. I'm still buzzing. I'm feeling it just like you are. So having a good time here. Excited to jump back into Who's Number One. Excited for the future of Who's Number One. Plenty of stuff going on here. Really excited to finally get to break down some of this stuff. Talk about it. Let's go.
All right, so I guess the big news, we'll get to last month. Last week's event in a second, but the big news is April 30th, we got a big event coming, headlined by Craig Jones and Tyro Tolo. We already announced Lovato versus Durinho. We're going to announce Nicky's opponent later in the show. It looks like we're going to be selling tickets to that one. There's going to be fans back in action. Probably in another Flow Grappling sponsor seminar, just like we did with Mikey. That's a big name, so keep your ears out for that. And what do you want to do? You want to jump into the March 26th card?
Let's jump into March 26th. I mean, we got to say what's up to Corey back there. Corey, how you doing, brother?
I'm looking forward to talking about all of the insane matches we had March 26th.
Yeah, this was the best one, man. Yeah, there was a lot of action, man. That's what we're doing. We're bringing the funnest people on, and they're pushing the pace, right? They're going for submissions.
I'm telling you, man, I have been to a lot of jiu-jitsu competitions, a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments over these years, man, and I got to be top three for me was this last Who's Number One. Just, like, in terms of fun matches, just fun people, just good vibes, great vibes. You know, for me, there was definitely – last year was tough. I know last year was tough for everybody. We didn't have a lot of that elite – competitive jiu-jitsu going on, COVID and everything, but man, it felt so great to be out there with everybody out there at Who's Number One and finally seeing this super high level jiu-jitsu is 100% back here on Who's Number One. You know, guys like Gordon, seeing them go out there and do their thing, it just made me so happy. It really did to finally see. You know, we've been doing a lot of these big jiu-jitsu competitions, but it really felt like this one, that man, jiu-jitsu is 100% back. It was just so great to be sitting next to guys like Orlando, and Mo is out there, and you know, you have Joe Rogan and everybody, you know. It just felt like such an incredible celebration of jiu-jitsu. It felt like everybody was so happy to be back to it.
It's the jiu-jitsu Illuminati meeting.
It was the Illuminati meeting.
You got Michael Zanga from Fanatics.
Zanga.
Everybody who's anybody comes in town for this thing and has a great time.
So the fact that for this next one, we're selling tickets for this one, I mean, like, the jiu-jitsu world is in this room. You know, you have John Danaher, you had Hulk, you have everybody. Guy Mendez is there, you know, like everybody who's anybody in the jiu-jitsu world at one point in time, they're here in this room at Who's Number One. So the fact that we're going to be selling tickets for this next one is going to be mind-blowing.
Like,
if you have an opportunity to buy tickets to this event, drop whatever you're doing and make sure you get to this next Who's Number One, because if this last one and the one before that with any indication, this stuff is absolutely must-see TV for jiu-jitsu fans, 100%.
So how you want to do it? You want to kick it off quick with the prelims and work our way up, or how?
Yeah, man, let's just go match by match. This is such a fun card. You know, right out the gate, things jumped, you know, went into the fire with two young guns, Sean Yatamarko versus Andrew Tackett.
Tackett really impressed me there. If anybody that doesn't know, Sean Yatamarko is legit, wins a bunch of stuff in the IBJJF. Yeah. Yeah. And Tackett put it on him, man. Tackett took it to him for 15 minutes straight. Those Tackett brothers just don't get tired, though. It's crazy. It's like either one of them, they keep pushing that pace, and they just wear people out, and then you never even see them breathing heavy.
Yeah, Corey and I saw Sean Yanomarco up out there at Dallas Open just that weekend previous. We saw him doing his thing, looking great in the Nogi Dallas Open. I believe he won his division. And yeah, I mean Andrew's a legend here in the local Austin, the Central Texas area already. He's out there killing it. So this was just like a perfect match to set these guys up for. Corey, what about you? You surprised at the outcome of this one?
I can't say I'm surprised. What I'm most surprised about is how dominant Andrew looked, right? I mean, he set the pace and he didn't give Sean a chance to breathe for 15 straight minutes. He took it to him, and you know, coming from not just as we said, not just a brown belt, but a purple belt, a Nogi Pan champion, like Sean Yanomarco is no joke, and Andrew Tackett just basically ran the match the whole time. I mean, he did what he wanted.
All over him. And then, I mean, the next one was Cole Abate, you know, the kid we've been watching since he was so young. He's 16 now.
I loved in the Andrew versus Sean match, like at the end when Andrew was like calling him up to wrestle.
He got a little attitude. He's got a little more attitude than his older brother.
How sick was that?
I think these two matches, Cole won by submission the next one. Tackett dominated. They're 16 and 17 years old, these dudes. I think these are two guys that we're going to see come out and make a name for themselves at ADCC next year. I mean, Cole Abate at 66 is going to be trouble, man. That kid, he's going to be a big problem. 77, Andrew Tackett could be a problem. This is sort of what Who's Number One was founded on, is giving the young bucks, the up-and-comers, the chance to make their name and build these guys and build the next generation into stars, and that's what we're doing. Especially wait till you see our final card for April 30th. I think I said we have six people under 19.
Wow.
Like, we have a bunch of young people. But those guys were real impressive. What do you think about Cole Abate out there?
Yeah, dude. Cole is another kind of local Central Texas guy. He's been out there killing the scene for a while, but of course kind of always been in the kids' divisions and the juvenile divisions and stuff. So this was like a real
he's a man now.
Fun test to see him kind of like graduate into the adult ranks, if you will. And even I just saw him, I feel like, you know, not too long ago, and just to see him now, I feel like he's already like filling out. He's looking so much more mature, looking like an adult. And you're totally right, though. Cole at ADCC, 66 kilogram division, because the weight class was 140 that he did Who's Number One. So that dude is a real dark horse in that ADCC division.
How old was Ty at ADCC 2019? 16, right?
16,
Same age Cole is right now. I think Cole could do the same thing if you dropped him in a 66 bracket right now. I mean, probably give him another match versus a color belt, and after that, you'll be seeing him fight the top 145-pounders in the world. Corey, what do you think about that Cole Abate match?
You know what this match really brought to my attention is how well some of the AOJ elites cater their style to rule sets. Like, if you look at even the last Jessa matchup against Danielle Kelly, you know, you think of AOJ sometimes when we see them at IBJJF, and you think, okay, they're going to play this really smooth passing game. They might even put themselves back in the guard to pass again and rack up points, and then they'll look for a finish. And this, Cole was finish. Like, he was looking for submissions right off the bat. You can say the same about Jessa back in our last card in February. They were both hunting for the kill, and it just shows that AOJ isn't just about IBJJF style, right? They cater their style to the game they're playing. So ADCC, exactly. I think we'll definitely see Cole make a name for himself at trials.
Like Mikey said all week, jiu-jitsu, right? Like, I mean, just because Cole competes in the gi and no gi, I mean, he's going to be better than most guys who just do no gi. I mean, he's a beast. He's been doing this stuff since he's a kid, since he could walk, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he really took it personal a little bit, that Ned kind of called out the leg lock game of Cole. I think maybe not even just Cole took that personal. I think maybe the team might have taken that personal because, yeah, like you said, you know, 10th Planet, of course, they have a very specific style of jiu-jitsu known as you know, lower body attackers and stuff like that. But I think AOJ and Cole wanted to prove that, like, hey, just because you guys are specialists doesn't mean we can't hang with the specialists in their area as well. So I don't think it was by accident that Cole went out and ankle locked Ned there, kind of leg locked him.
Shout out to Ned. He's probably naturally a little bit smaller than Cole. Also, probably one best dressed at the promo shoots.
Definitely. Ned was great, man. We had a lot of fun working with him. Hope to get him back on the show sometime.
So let's get on to the main card. I mean, the first one was Tamataza, right? Controversial one. Johnny Tommy yelled at me backstage, wasn't happy about it. I wasn't in the room. Let's kick it around first. It was unanimous. It was unanimous for Taza. How do you feel about this decision, Reed? You were in the room watching it.
In the room watching it, of course, not a judge. But you know, just from my experience, from what I was watching, I thought the judges got it right. You know, very close match, for sure. But for me, what the difference was in the match was the fact that that Taza just never stopped attacking. He really didn't. From start to finish, I thought he was the one pushing the pace the entire time. And really, when it comes down to a close match, I think that's what we're looking for, right? Like, we're looking for the guy who's the one pushing the pace, pushing the action, being aggressive, not taking any passive back steps or anything like that. And to me, Taza was the guy who was doing that. So in my opinion, you know, close match, but I thought the judges got it right.
How about you, Corey? What do you think about the decision?
Yeah, it was probably the closest match of the night. And what Johnny did right was he was able to successfully pass Oliver's guard a couple of times, I think two or three times. But Taza was more aggressive throughout the match. He had a couple deep leg lock attempts. From just pure sight, they looked like they were tight enough to pop something. Johnny was saying after the match that he felt fine, but just on the eye test, it looked like Taza was attacking more. And in this instance, I think the judges got it right as well.
And I mean, in our rules PDF that goes out to the athletes, it says if you're going to sweep, if you're going to pass guard, you got to do something with it. If you're going to pass guard, you got to get after a submission. You got to try and advance. Like, just passing guard is not going to count as much as a deep heel hook. We send that out to all the athletes. None of them check their email, so they don't know about it. But yeah, I mean, that was a controversial one. I was backstage. I sit backstage and do the interviews, and I was talking with people who were back there watching on the projector. And I probably talked to 10 people near the end of the match because I would pop over, hey, who do you think is winning this? Probably 5 people said each person. So it was a close one. Could have gone either way. But our judges, I mean, who have done these a lot, and I always agree with them, had it unanimous for Oliver Taza. Up next, the next match was...
Fun match, though, you know, and I think, you know, those guys, I think we'll see each other again.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt, yeah. And you know, we'll see that one again for sure.
Up next was Rafaela.
Mm-hmm.
Rafaela versus Maggie Grandotti. Rafaela continues to impress, man. She's very young in her black belt career. I think Rafaela is going to be dominant in this division for a long time.
Yeah, big work rate, I think, coming out of from Rafaela here. You know, I think that was really the story of this match, is that she just kind of outworked Maggie up until she got the submission there. Really, really physical grappler. Love watching Rafaela out there. You know, it just looked like Maggie never could quite catch up to what Rafaela was doing. Both these girls really good, and surprisingly enough, you know, Maggie kind of has the edge in their past meetings, but Rafaela just been storming onto the scene and not taking no prisoners, and this time no different. Love her physical style, love that she gets after it, love that she wrestles with girls, and she's not taking a backward step. Who's Number One's all about. I think Rafaela is the perfect athlete for this Who's Number One rule set.
Yeah, Rafaela was very adamant in her post-match interview that she wants the top ranking in that division. There's only two women ranked ahead of her, Gabby and Nacchielli.
Wow. So she's right there. She's barking up that, you know, that number one spot.
Yeah, and I think at this point, she's getting to the point where she deserves one of those matches, right? I mean, she's we said this before the match, but now she's 12-1 as a black belt, and she's beaten some of the biggest names already. I mean, she's beaten Anna Carolina and Liz Clay both on Fight to Win, and she's looking impressive every time we see her. She looks very, very physical. She's not just beating the people she's facing, right? She's usually handling them.
Yeah, aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She goes out there and tries to stomp people, which that's what the fans want to see. They don't want to see you try and survive and win a decision. They want to see you go out there and try and kill somebody.
At one point, she had like that double mouth and nose cover, kind of like over Maggie's face while she had her back. Like she was ruthless, man. But that's what it's all about.
I think Rafaela is going to be a big star in this women's division for a long time to come. Looking forward to some of those exciting matchups with her.
She's,
and I mean,
she's so young. She's only like 3 months as a black belt.
Got it before Pans.
That's crazy.
Got it before Pans last year, so late 2020. From that, we had the co-main event of the evening. This was the match I was most impressed with.
You have Mikey. You almost skipped Mikey.
Yep, almost skipped Mikey. We had Mikey Mizumechi, first no-gi match in 5 years versus Marcelo Cohen at 135 pounds. It was interesting seeing Mikey come out to compete no-gi. Came out to Cotton Eye Joe, did his little run out there. What did you think about Mikey's performance out there? I was watching it backstage, and everybody was like, what's he doing? What's he doing? He was just holding side control, going mount, and then he went to the mount.
Certainly very interesting performance from Mikey. You know, a lot of question marks definitely about this one. Weren't quite sure what we were going to see with Mikey, what his game was going to be. Was he just going to go out there and try to ankle lock him in 10 seconds, or were we going to see some jiu-jitsu? Definitely, you know, throughout the week, this match kind of like built in intensity and what I was looking forward to. I feel like as I started to like kind of talk to Marcelo and talk to Mikey, like I really loved Marcelo's mentality coming into the match, and I really loved hearing from Mikey what he was going to do and everything like that. So as the week went on, this excitement for this match just rose and rose for me. I really dug what Marcelo was doing. He was ready for the match. He knew that he had to kind of make it ugly, make it nasty. He tried, but of course Mikey just flawless in his technique. It just a tactician like no other.
Mikey is basically what we said about Cole earlier, just a few years down the road. Mikey's been doing this his whole life, you know, gi, no gi, whatever. No gi world champion beat Joao Miao at no gi world. It's legit. Yeah. Like no gi, and I think he's going to be a big problem in this division. I've been talking with him since then. He's told me he trained heel hooks for 9 hours yesterday. He wants to do who's number one every month if he can. This division in no gi, 135, even if he goes up to 145, he's going to be a big problem. I mean, a lot of these like sub only type of guys, if they sit down and try and play leg locks with Mikey, he might just end up on their back. He might just bolo out of a leg lock. But his technique is so good, and it's Mikey's rejuvenated by this. Just like the same reason he started fighting Muhammad Ali and all these big guys, he wanted a new challenge. Now he's fighting Nogi. He seems happy about it. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more Mikey Nogi matches this year.
That's exactly what he was saying. You know, like he said, he was chasing that feeling of not knowing if he was going to win or lose, right? Like that's just like a feeling that he wants to experience. Stepping on the mat being like, am I going to win? Am I going to lose? I don't know. Because, of course, every time Mikey steps on the mat, he's like almost 100% sure that he's going to win. So I thought that was such an interesting perspective from Mikey. What do you think he was doing, Corey, there? Kind of just like, was he just kind of, just trying to get Marcelo to kind of open up a little bit? Or it's, he kept putting his knee on his belly and then kind of transitioning into mount and then kind of going backwards. What do you think he was doing there?
His post-match, in his post-match interview, he was indicating that he was trying to get Marcelo to open up, right? And he specifically drew the analogy that in IBJJF, guys who are down on points will turn their back and will give themselves up because they're down on points. And in this, you know, Marcelo might have been a little bit more concerned about just keeping tight and not getting submitted. What I was really impressed with, and I was actually calling for this before the match, is I was really happy that we got to see a lot of Mikey's passing in his top game. I mean, Mikey's really well known for his guard and his Barambolo's collar sleeve game. But his passing, and especially his half guard passing, is just, I mean, we saw it. It's exceptional. So to kind of see that and to show that to the grappling world that, yeah, Mikey can pass too, and his pressure is unreal. It's really good to see what he can do from the top, you know, regardless of rule set or gi or no gi.
Yeah, he's gonna pass on these guys. I mean, Mikey's a smart guy. He knows what works. We saw at the last ADCC what works in no gi when you want to pass. Force half guard and smash with the cross face and knee cut out of it. So, I mean, I'm very excited to see more Mikey in this division. You guys want to, we were talking about doing this later on. You want to throw it in the middle here? It seems like it fits. You want to talk about where Mikey goes at 135 now?
Yeah. Let's do it. It is an interesting debate. Haven't seen Mikey in 5 years. Suddenly, he injects himself back into the no-gi conversation. A lot, top 10 is a lot of good guys in there. So, where does he fit? He beat the number 10 guy in Marcelo Cohen. He has wins over a couple of these guys, I believe, in the top 10.
I mean, 10. He beat Joao no-gi, but that was 5 years ago. But, I mean, looking at this list, I think he beats everybody. But the thing is, he only has one match in 5 years. Where do we put him? But I don't think it'll be long before he takes this division over. Where would you slot Mikey in here right now, Corey?
I like him on the back end of the top 10, specifically because I want to see a lot of these matches before I can set him in up higher. I think he's in for sure the top 7 or 8. I really want to see matches like John Calistine, Gabe Tuttle, Junior Ocasio, Lucas Pinheiro. Like there's some matches in there that I think Mikey might not have a cakewalk with, and I'd like to see those matches before I put him in above, let's say, Gabe Tuttle. So I'd say right at number 8.
Put him in number 8. I'd probably put him 6 or 7, 8 or something. I mean, like I said, I think he's the best, but he's got to get more matches in. How about you, Reed?
Yeah, I mean, hard not to put him just – I'm going to go out there and just say put him in number 1, you know? Like,
fine with it.
Right? But, I mean, he just reminds me of
I mean, Joao Miao's not doing matches either. So.
Right? Yeah, I haven't seen too many of these guys. I'd like to see him against, like you said, Juni and Calistine, but not too many active, super active guys beyond Juni. But for me, like, man, just watching his jiu-jitsu, he just reminds me so much of Gordon in the sense that like he just does jiu-jitsu that I he makes jiu-jitsu look like something I've like never even seen before. He just pushes the limits of what I can even like imagine jiu-jitsu to be, or like how dominant it actually can be. And I think Gordon and Mikey like might be the kind of two guys kind of separated from the pack here, because man, their jiu-jitsu just looks so unstoppable. And definitely watching Mikey, you know, I had some question marks about what his match was going to look like at who's number one, but come on, he's number one for sure.
Yeah, Mikey's got it's looking like in our May event, Mikey's going to fight one of these people in the top five. So that's up to you guys to try and guess who, but we're getting pretty close to it. But Mikey's got, like you said, Mikey's got a special mind for jiu-jitsu, man. Like, I used to host a couple shows with him. We used Saturday Match Rewind and stuff. And, like, I taught jiu-jitsu for years. I've been working covering jiu-jitsu for years. And it's like the way he talks about it, I'm like, man, I've never heard anyone approach jiu-jitsu with this type of mindset, like the type of stuff he says.
It's really true, man. Like, if you can ever get a chance to have a conversation with Mikey about jiu-jitsu or about his mindset for jiu-jitsu or how he approaches competition especially, it's just mind-blowing. And if you think that you know a lot about jiu-jitsu, or if you think that you study a lot of jiu-jitsu, or you think that you watch a lot of jiu-jitsu, you don't even hold a candle to the amount of jiu-jitsu that Mikey is watching in general. Testing, studying, just on a daily basis. Like, he is 100% on the cutting edge, constantly knows everything about the newest techniques or in what works and stuff. He is always on the cutting edge, and it's just an absolute pleasure to listen to him talk about jiu-jitsu because he just has such a unique perspective. So if you ever get that chance, man, ask Mikey some jiu-jitsu questions because it will blow your mind.
And he's the nicest guy in the sport. He'll hang out and talk with anybody. But,
yeah, you would love it. He'll talk your ear off about jiu-jitsu for sure.
The next one, the co-main event, Nicky Rod versus Yuri. This was incredibly impressive from Nick Rodriguez. Like, the amount of – we haven't seen much of him since ADCC. He came back out at, like, Third Coast, maybe at Kasai. We haven't seen him too much.
Yeah.
He looked like a completely different athlete compared to back then. His jiu-jitsu, his passing, he was just getting that body lock and just doing it over and over again from what I recall, man. Nicky Rod was super impressive, and I'm sure, you know, scared the shit out of a lot of people in that heavyweight division.
Yeah, Corey, you take a stab at this one. What'd you think of Nicky Rod's performance here?
First of all, I was impressed that we did not see a single takedown in this match.
Crazy. Yuri pulled for like 5 seconds in.
And you know what? It seems like a smart strategy from Yuri, right? I mean, you know that you don't want to make this a wrestling match against Nicky Rod. Whether or not you think you can beat him in a wrestling match, that's not the game you want to play against Nicky Rod, especially if you don't think he's got great jiu-jitsu. But I think Yuri learned a hard lesson here, and we all learned a lesson here, and that's Nicky Rod has some great passing, and he really relied heavily on that body lock, seemed to work for him. And you know, if we're talking about future ADCC matchups, this body lock could go a long way for Nicky.
Absolutely.
I think that's something we saw Gordon do really well in all 8 matches in 2019, right? Was he was using half guard and body lock style and body lock half guard passes to get past everybody's guard.
Well, I mean, the scouting report was out there. It was simple on Nicky Rod. All he can do is wrestle, right? That's what the entire community thought. That's what I thought, basically. That's what he did at ADCC. So, I mean, for Yuri, he's probably thinking, okay, well, I just pull guard and turn it into a jiu-jitsu match. I can pull guard here. It's not ADCC. Well, now we see that strategy might not be the best move because that body lock looked painful, man.
Dude's putting in the work. You know, that's the bottom line. He's out there in Puerto Rico. He's out there in Jersey and New York training with you know, one of the best teams in jiu-jitsu. So you can tell. This match proved that Nicky Rod's putting in the work, you know. And, yeah, I think everybody's surprised. Everybody expected to see a lot of big, big takedowns, a lot of big throws, you know. And then to see Yuri come out and just immediately pull guard, I was a little like, ah, man. Of course, you know, you wanted to see Nicky and them wrestle. There's a lot of great kind of like lead up where they're talking about having a wrestling match and stuff like that, you know. And I was a little nervous that, you know, 15 minutes is a long time. You don't necessarily want to dive into somebody's guard when, you know, when there's 14 minutes and 30 seconds left, you know. But Nicky did. He did that. He didn't stall one bit. Said, okay, you want to pull guard? Well, I'm here to pass guard. And I think like 90 seconds into the match, he passed Yuri's guard. Like I was sitting there
real quick
with my camera, had my mouth open. I was like, we're 90 seconds into this match and he's already passed Yuri's guard. I mean, I can't remember the last time Yuri had his guard passed. He's known for having such a great guard. And so the fact that Nicky went out there immediately and passed his guard, he set the tone for the entire match, had Yuri on his back foot the entire match, never let up. It's exactly what we're looking for. Who's number one? Hats off to Nicky Rod for not only winning but showing that he has another fold. He's putting in the work, and this dude's gonna be good. We're talking about athletes in jiu-jitsu. Nicky Rod's an athlete, man.
What's up, Connor? or Corey.
Hey, yeah, one thing I wanted to point out on this match, and actually on the whole card, we had three matches on this card where there was a disparity in belt rank. So right, the two prelims and this match. In all three matches, the lower rank beat the higher rank. So,
wow.
Yeah, in both prelims, Blue Belt Cole beat Purple Belt Ned Johnson. Purple Belt Andrew Tackett beat Brown Belt Sean Yadamarco. And here, Purple Belt Nikki Rod beat Black Belt Iris Simoes.
Wow. Yeah, really. When it comes to Nogi, let's shut up about the belts, people. When I, you know, you hit somebody up and they say, "Ah, I don't want to fight him. He's not a black belt." It's like, dude, well, he's a bigger name than you, so you want to go out there and get your name made, or you want to just fight black belts? But Nikki Rod, look at his hit list so far in his career. Who's he beat? He beat Big O, ADCC champion. He beat Ali. He beat Cyborg, ADCC champion. Who else did he beat?
ADCC absolute champion.
ADCC absolute champion. He beat Yuri, two-time ADCC champion. Nikki Rod's got a hell of a hit list. Luke, guys
beat,
trained beat like
Luke
year
Rockhold,
and a half.
Yeah. UFC champion.
Incredible. So the main event. All right, let's set the stage a little bit. Wednesday night, I'm at home in bed, like 1 a.m. I get a text from Gordon asking me if I have an envelope and a Sharpie. Wow. And I was like, now? You need an envelope and a Sharpie now in the middle of the night? And he's, oh, no, you can give it to me anytime. So when he's at our office the next day, he grabs one. I still didn't know what the hell he's up to. Reed, you were in the room. Explain how it went down.
Man, he just got, you know, he's came up with the idea, right? He's been doing it a lot of these ones where he calls his submission before it happens, sort of Gordon's MO now. And, you know, this one no different. So he took a note card, wrote down the submission that he was going to hit. You know, this is a couple days before the actual event, sealed it with an envelope so nobody could see it, you know, and yeah, kept it on him, handed it out to Hal when he walked onto the mat in one of the most badass, like, just gangster moves in Who's Number One history. Walks out there, sets the envelope down on Hal's desk, and the rest is history. I mean, you guys saw what happened. It was just, it's mind-blowing. It really is.
It really seems like he's just left everybody behind to that level where if he has 30 minutes to work, he's going to get a triangle within 30 minutes.
That's exactly right. And I was thinking about this before the podcast. Can you think of any other grappler in jiu-jitsu who can take a number one ranked opponent and pull out, you know, call their shot and pull it off? I don't know if I can name anybody who could do this.
Yeah, everybody's over-exaggerating the size difference. There's a 15-pound size difference in here. People keep inflating it. But it's like, Gordon now, who's going to beat this guy? He's tapped 7 of the pound-for-pound top 10. Wow. Ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah, like I was saying before, just like you don't realize that jiu-jitsu can do this type of – can, you know, everybody always says, right, there's levels to jiu-jitsu, which is so true, but – to think that there's even a level beyond the top level that we all thought was the top level, that's where Gordon is getting to. You know, he's just separating himself from the pack so much. And it's absolutely mesmerizing to watch. It really is. To watch him get the legs and pass up the leg submissions, to see him get the back and pass up the rear naked choke submissions, you know, and go for a completely different submission. I mean, it's like he's playing chess and everybody else playing checkers. That's really what it feels like. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think what really separates Gordon, yeah, he's big, strong, great shape. He's got probably the best technique in the game. But what really makes him so dominant is his mental game. Mm. Mentally, he's just automatic. He's like a robot when he goes out there. He doesn't feel pressure. Like, you see so many guys. We're in the room, training room with these top guys in the world all the time, and there's so many of them who look unbeatable in the room against other elite guys, and they're not the same person when they go compete. It's like Gordon gets better when he goes out there and compete. There's something in his mind that he's just built for competition, man. He's just perfect for it.
So true, so true. You know, he just has this unwavering confidence in his jiu-jitsu. You know, I think that he was a little bit just kind of born with it, but of course he has the experience where it pays off. But that's such an underrated point about Gordon Ryan, is that he's just unshakable when it comes to competition. I've always thought the same thing about Conor McGregor, that's probably what makes him great, is that he's able to perform when the lights are the brightest, you know, when there's 50,000 people or there's millions of people watching at home. Conor McGregor can perform better than anybody in those moments, whereas, you know, a lot of his competition can crumble during those moments. And I think that's a little bit what we're seeing with Gordon, that he's just able to kind of shake off any nerves or anxiety that he may have. I'm sure he's maybe still feels it, but it does not affect him. And yeah, I think people should be studying that mental part of his game for sure as well, because that is an underrated part of Gordon's game. And we haven't quite seen that same type of of you know, just kind of like maniac competition skills in Nikki yet, you know. But who knows? Maybe it's there with Nikki as well too.
Yeah, I mean, he's so far ahead of everybody, and it seems like it's just getting worse. Like he was so far ahead of everybody at ADCC 2019, and he's improved so much more than everyone since then. And it's just getting worse and worse.
It's like he was saying, I can't even use my like new technique stuff that I'm working on because I'm still doing all the stuff that I did back in 2017 to submit everybody. Like, I mean, that's mind blowing.
All right, Corey, you got anything before we move on to the next event?
No, let's get moving. I can't wait to. We have a big announcement coming on.
Yeah, we might as well do that now, huh? Let's do it. Let's kick off this event, talking about this event. So we got Nikki Ryan here is going to be fighting in our third match of the night. We'll talk about the two matches we announced ahead of this before. But the opponent coming up is this is going to be a 175-pound match. This guy's a veteran of Who's Number One, a very tough opponent. Reed, who's Nikki Ryan fighting?
Man, one of my favorites out of 10th Planet, PJ Barch, going to be taking on Nikki Ryan. This is a really fun match. Both these guys came up short in their last Who's Number Ones, or I guess that's not true for Nikki. But he does. Nikki has the loss against Ty Rotolo. He's looking to bounce back. I guess I don't really count the Tony Ramos one, but I'll count it.
Had a submission victory over Tony Ramos.
He does. You know, a big match for Nikki right here, I think. PJ Barch looked phenomenal in his last out. He's recovering from injury, but he's back. He had a great run at ADCC trials when he was. So he's on the road back. Nikki on the road back. This is a perfect match for both these guys, I think.
Yeah, PJ lost to Wiltsy a decision at Who's Number One in February. He wanted to give him one at his more natural weight class. He bumped up. Wiltsy's a lot heavier than him. And PJ's a tough opponent, man. Great wrestler, great leg locks. Corey, can you run? He's got some big names he's beat before. But, I mean, this is a one. Nikki Ryan's getting into that hole that a lot of the DDS guys are in where people don't want the smoke, man. They don't want to go with somebody who's going to try and submit them the entire time. Seven people turned this match down. Five ranked guys turned this match down before we got to BJ. And PJ, you know, he doesn't give a fuck. He just said, yeah, I'll do it. But
DJ gets it, man. Yeah. A win over Nikki Ryan, PJ's fighting in main events and co-main events.
Everyone out there is thinking about the negative side. I mean, Nikki Ryan's a big star, man. Talk about his credentials or whatever, his accolades, but dude's got a bunch of fans.
Look at Ty. Ty beats Nikki. Now Ty's fighting in the main event of Who's Number One against Craig. You know, these are big opportunities. You got to risk something to get that reward, right? Like they always say. So love that PJ's stepping up. He's a guy who doesn't care. You know, he's got a big win over, you know, no stranger to fighting these kind of young prodigies. I remember one of his biggest wins being over William Tackett a few years ago. So, he's ready for all comers. You got to love PJ Barch.
Go ahead, Corey.
He's actually got a couple wins over Will Tackett. Now we're talking about a younger William Tackett, but still in the same boat, right? He's got a couple wins over Jason Rao. There's a couple of really big names in here. Victor Silverio. I think I saw Shaolin on this list. Yeah. One that I didn't realize is he had a match back in 2016 against a much younger Gordon Ryan.
Really?
Yeah. Not a win.
EBI?
He lost to him at Zapatero.
Oh, Zapatero.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki, the word out of Puerto Rico is this kid's evolution is going crazy. Like, think about it. He's only 19 years old. I mean, he's younger than Gordon was when he won ADCC the first time, right? I think a couple years younger.
Yeah.
Gordon was 21, yeah.
Gordon was 21. Yeah. Nikki's still 2 years younger. He's been competing professionally all this time. And I hear he's getting really as good as anybody down there. So, I mean, Nikki Ryan could end up taking over this 170-pound division, 77 kilograms at ADCC. Like, just like I talked about, I mean, we could be seeing guys like Cole, Mikey, whatever, do some damage. I could see Nikki do some serious damage at 77 at ADCC. And I'm really excited to see him go out there and compete. I mean, think about 19, he'd be a freshman in college. He'd be redshirting if he was wrestling. So it's like he's just at the beginning.
Yeah, but, you know, Nikki's such a young guy out there. He's so much more to prove, I think. I don't think we've even seen the close to the best Nikki out there. You know, we saw him a great performance at the ADCC West Coast Trials. That's maybe when I was so impressed with what he was able to do at the West Coast Trials there. Now, definitely a little bigger. This is a guy in PJ Barch who is a little bit bigger. You can see he's a muscular guy. He's a wrestler. He's going to put the pace on Nikki. He's going to try to to do the same thing that, that Ty Rotolo did, I think. He's going to put the pace on him, pass, try to make him tired, you know, stay away from those leg entanglements and threaten those upper body submissions. But, you know, PJ might be one of the best leg lockers that, that Nicky has faced in a while, too. So great match for Nicky. I think this is a tough one, but I think it could really kind of showcase what he's been working on down there in Puerto Rico, and a huge opportunity for PJ Barch to make a big name for himself. I think that's exactly why he took the fight. He knows how big this Who's Number One stage really is, and a win over Nicky Ryan catapults this dude. So a lot on the line for this one. Really excited
smart,
about
smart
it.
Smart move by PJ. I wish more people had that attitude. We still have like five more fights to announce on this.
Wow.
There's only three announced. There's been eight. There's going to be eight total. So what do you want to get to next, the co-main event or the main event for April?
Let's do co-main real quick.
Co-main is maybe my favorite one.
Exactly, man. We're talking about we got five more huge matches to announce for this next April 30th Who's Number One card. We've already announced the two. Just this last one is the third. And already this card is looking killer. One of my favorite matches on this entire card, though, has got to be Rafael Lovato Jr. versus Durinho Gilbert Burns, the number one contender for the welterweight title. He just fought Kamaru Usman. We were rooting for you, Durinho. Almost had that knockout in the first round. I know I was celebrating a little bit early for Durinho. This close to being UFC champion, but don't worry. We know he's going to get back there to the UFC title very, very soon. And then on the other side, of course, you have the former Bellator middleweight champion, Rafael Lovato Jr. He had to step away from Bellator, step away from MMA. He's back in grappling. We have this Bellator versus UFC number one contender versus the former champion. Dude, this one gets me so, so excited.
Yeah, two old school guys. This is, I don't know what the hell to expect from this one. When's the last time we saw Lovato in Nogi? I think he fought Cyborg at that Substars. Did he do one recently?
He did Nogi Dallas Open there. He did the Dallas Open in Nogi.
At adult?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
That was adult. Okay, yeah. He scored two armbar wins.
So at adult, got the two armbars and... Yeah. He said that he wasn't too keen on going for the heel hooks and stuff, but he was saying that he might try it out. Of course, Lovato knows everything. He knows it all, so heel hooks didn't scare him. But yeah, I love that Lovato's kind of back in the mix here. He looked skinny. He looked in really, really good shape when I saw him in Dallas. I don't know if you saw him there, Corey, as well. So I think, you know, although Durinho 170 or welterweight and Lovato a middleweight, I think they'll probably be pretty close in size, much closer than you probably think.
Yeah, I mean, when Durinho was going to fight Dante, it was like that match was going to be at like 195 or something. It was pretty heavy. Dante doesn't weigh that much, so they were doing that probably for Gilbert. So I think maybe it'll be like 10 pounds difference at the most. Mm-hmm. But this one's a crazy one. I don't know what the hell to think about who's going to win it. I think obviously Rafael has been way more active in jiu-jitsu competition lately. Obviously, Gilbert's been killing it in MMA. But I don't know, man. This is one of the tougher ones to pick ever, just because we haven't seen so much of these guys in a while. I mean, Gilbert's Gi World Champion, No Gi World Champion, ADCC bronze medalist, I believe. I'll wait until we get closer to the event. I don't want to pick this one yet.
I mean, what a G though Gilbert is. You know, he's fresh off his UFC title fight, you know, and honestly Gilbert's been like this his entire UFC career. He's doing no-gi fights, he'll jump in an Orlando Open or something like that, he'll do a gi match, and then he'll do an MMA fight. This dude just loves to compete, and that's one of our favorite types of persons here, who's number one, guy who's just ready to throw down, really, no matter who it is against, whether it's Lovato or Dante or whoever it is. Durinho down for it. So love that this dude is just always out there testing himself, whether it's UFC title fight or whatever. And very happy to have him on this stage.
Yeah, Gilbert's always down. He was going to fight Dante when he was supposed to have a title fight like a month later. And UFC had to tell him no, I believe. Corey, how do you think the action goes down in this one? I'm sort of leaning towards, I think they'll wrestle each other. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually really confused exactly what we're going to see, because we're looking at two of the best contemporary representatives of MMA, of jiu-jitsu in MMA right now, right? We just said it, but Lovato was a Bellator champion. Durinho, just recently a UFC contender. We have seen a lot more of Lovato, and even when he's doing jiu-jitsu, he's more than willing to wrestle until his opponent pulls guard. or until he gets on top. We know what to expect from a jiu-jitsu, right? It's simple and it's very, very close
timeless.
To, very close to perfect. It's timeless jiu-jitsu. But I think that that's something that a lot of jiu-jitsu players who adopt their jiu-jitsu for an MMA style, they benefit from that, right? They benefit from a very simple dial down jiu-jitsu because they know what works when you're getting punched in the face. So we might see maybe a little bit of a similar game, but that, I don't think that takes anything away from the action. I think, sure, maybe we'll see more wrestling, but just a lot more of a patience on the word for it, a fundamentally charged game, which tends to actually bring up the action in jiu-jitsu because there's not a whole lot of open-ended scrambles that end up in just stalemates and falling away from each other. It's everything's falling into the action.
Yeah, just like we talked about with Mikey, Lovato's gi passing, the way he passes in a gi translates perfectly to no-gi. It's the best style of passing, forcing half guard, smashing people, and working their way through. So, I mean,
Lovato comes from that style too. Yeah. Same with Mikey and some of these other guys who grew up gi no-gi doesn't matter to Lovato and Dorino. Gi no-gi doesn't matter at all to those dudes.
Lovato's ADCC medalist as well.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? It's going to be KO, TKO? Which one?
Hopefully not just a KO. Something weird happens if it's a KO. All right, let's go on to the main event. The main event's a really interesting one. I think this really caught people by surprise when we did this face-off on the stream. Everybody's wondering why we matched up Craig Jones and Ty Rotolo. They're different weight classes. I'll tell you why. Ty has been requesting this for a while. Like, Ty's probably asked me 10 times if he can get this match. He's really confident how he can do here. Ty's getting bigger. These guys are going to be in the same weight class at ADCC because Cade's going 77 with Ty 88. Ty's really confident, man. He's a big dude. He's got a big frame. I mean, he'll probably be like 180 going in. This will be a little bit smaller, but yeah, Ty's not scared of Craig. And at the end of the day, everybody, some people were criticizing, put the top ranked people against each other in their weight class. No, this is entertainment. It's entertainment, baby. We want the most exciting fighters out there. These guys, this is guaranteed entertainment. Craig Jones and Ty Ruotolo, they're going to get after each other. They're both always going after each other, after everyone. But that's where it's going to might be problems for Ty, because Craig seems to be best when people actually want to do jiu-jitsu. The way to beat Craig is simple, right? Just disengage for the entirety of the match and hope you win a decision or win on points or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But Ty's going to come after him.
Ty's not going to do that. That's for darn sure. Like you said, Ty been asking for this one. You guys who are maybe counting Ty out or don't think Ty's ready for this test, well, don't tell Ty Rotolo that, because this dude is coming. I did a great interview with him sitting down. We got some really fun content and some more videos coming your way, so be on the lookout for that. But sitting down with Ty, this dude, it was the picture of confidence. You know, he really did not see why everybody else was so confused or anything like that. No, Ty said, this is a great match for me, actually, and I'm coming in there and I'm not going to take a backward step. We have seen Craig get tired in matches before, you know, and Ty's thing is that he has a gas tank for days. You saw him wear down Nicky Ryan. I think he's going to try to do the same thing to Craig here. He's trying to pull the upset. He's trying to wow everybody. And who's number one is the stage to do it.
Yeah, this is going to be a wild match.
I can't wait for that shit.
It looks
man.
Like the Gabby Garcia match has been postponed. Thank God, because if Craig happened to lose that thing, he said he was going to retire. We need him for the main event here. Corey, how do you think Ty matches up with Craig here?
You know, I think looking quickly at Craig's past couple of matches, like basically all of his 2020, he's got a ton of submission victories. No surprise, really.
We even got a little clip here, I think, of Craig's last match there with Ronaldo.
The one thing that I think actually could work in Ty's favor here is that, I mean, Michael mentioned that the best way to beat Craig is to disengage with him. The thing that Ty does very well is like that leg pinning passing, and then
incredible against Nicky,
right? Mm-hmm. And then leaping past the guard, right? So he finds a way to stay out of the leg entanglements while also not putting himself in danger and not stalemating, right? Or not just staying away. Like he's actively passing while at a distance.
He does this thing that I've never seen anyone else do, where he almost throws the darts as a flying submission, right? Sometimes. Yeah. Like he's just like passing and just, he's got those long arms, throws the darts on. Me and him were measuring our arms against each other the other day. It's ridiculous how long his wingspan is.
Wow.
But that leg pinning, I wish we had some video of that to watch right now. We should pull that up one of these other weeks. But that leg pin passing that he was doing against Nicky was smooth, man. He was giving Nicky a lot of trouble with that. Obviously, Craig's guard is, I mean, Has anybody passed Craig's guard recently? I mean, you know, earlier in his career it happened.
Not even, I can't think of anybody's passed his guard. I mean, Kynan took his back there, but didn't really pass his guard.
But nobody jumps out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously Ronaldo. This is Ty's teammate here that we're watching a little bit, couple of highlights of. And, you know, obviously Ronaldo wasn't able to get it done from the Atos team, and now Ty's going to take a shot. But I think there's a lot to learn. I think those guys learned a lot from how Ronaldo got submitted there and what not to do and things. And I think Craig made a good point in the interview I did with Craig that he didn't think that was the best Ronaldo he'd ever seen. He thought maybe the moment kind of got to him a little bit. You know, it's a big moment when you have all the lights on you, when you have all the people messaging you on social media saying, go get him, you know, kill this dude and stuff like that. A lot on the line. I think that can get to some people. Maybe it might have gotten to Ronaldo. I don't think it will get to Ty. He's been in the spotlight since he was literally 1 year old. So he's been in big situations like this. I think he'll be ready to take on a guy like Craig.
Yeah, I mean, this is two of the most exciting athletes in the game.
100%. I mean,
both of them with the right attitude. They want to get after everybody. They want to fight the biggest names. Ty's doing the right thing, going out and fighting this guy. I mean,
they want to prove they're the best. That's what we're here to
just
do.
Just like Roberto Gordon, it's a win-win for him. If he loses, he's smaller than them. They want to prove they're the best. That's what you should be doing. All these guys out there thinking of their reputation. Like, dude, this isn't boxing where if you lose, you got to go fight your way back up the ladder and lose millions of dollars, get your way to a title shot. If you go out there and you lose and you're excited, you're going to be right back out there in the spotlight another time. And we need exciting fighters to grow this sport. We don't need people who are trying to protect their reputation, trying to win by a ref's decision or an advantage. I cannot wait for this one. Corey, you got anything else to add on this match before we get out of here?
No, just that I've seen, actually, I've been watching a lot of the Atos players using that leg pinning pass, and it's something that I think more and more people are doing. I've seen it a lot more in the Gi and IBJJF formats, but definitely something to keep an eye on, especially if it ends up working in Ty's favor in this match. I think we could be seeing a lot more of this as a solution to that major problem.
Did you guys watch a lot of Rotolo, like highlights and stuff, like when they're orange and in green belts?
Instagram and shit. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you remember seeing like the little like viral highlights and stuff like that of those guys? You watch any of that, Corey?
Some of their actually technique videos they shot as green belts are still kind of mind blowing.
I think people still have this image of them as little kids, you know, because it wasn't really that long ago.
Ty's a grown ass man,
dude. Man, you stand next to these dudes. These guys are grown men. He's not going to be that much smaller than Craig, man. These guys have matured a lot and they're filling out, coming into their own. Yeah, these are adults who are looking to prove they're the best, man, and nothing better than that.
It's kind of funny because after all that Atos DDS drama a couple months at February event, we have just like the two nicest guys in the sport representing those teams. I don't think there's gonna be any trash talk between these two, but all right, I think we're good, right, guys? Yeah, make sure you pay attention. We're gonna be announcing three more main card matches this week. We got six main card matches this event, then we're gonna announce both the prelims, I think, on Sunday. A lot of good stuff coming. Like we said, there's going to be fans. There's going to be a crowd in April. Events coming in May, June, July. We're just going to keep these things coming. Got a lot of exciting matches planned. And I'll see you guys next week.
Bro.
48 minutes.